When tech billionaires like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg warn about capitalism's impending transformation, they unknowingly channel the ghost of Marx's Communist Manifesto. Written in 1848, this revolutionary text remains the second most assigned university reading worldwide after Plato's Republic. Why does this radical pamphlet continue to capture minds across political spectrums? Perhaps because it captures what Marshall Berman called the vertigo of constant change that defines modern existence. In Slavoj Žižek's analysis, the manifesto's relevance lies not in its specific predictions, but in its diagnosis of capitalism's revolutionary nature, a system that constantly transforms itself while generating its own contradictions. As we navigate a world where corporations adopt progressive aesthetics while maintaining exploitative practices, where revolutionary ideas become marketing opportunities, and where unprecedented wealth coexists with growing precarity, Marx's ghost refuses exorcism. The supreme irony? Today's dominant ideology appears as its opposite, cynical resignation masquerading as realism. Tech billionaires can propose colonizing Mars, but suggesting housing for all is dismissed as dangerous utopianism. All that is solid melts into air. All that is holy is profaned. This famous line describes capitalism itself, a system that revolutionizes production, disrupts social relations, and creates perpetual uncertainty. Today's capitalism extends this revolutionary force beyond economics into culture and identity, replacing traditional structures with unstable identities operating within market logic. The market, focused solely on profit and expansion, transforms even resistance into commodities. Social movements quickly become marketing opportunities, with revolutionary aesthetics selling everything from t-shirts to luxury cars. Dating apps convert romance into a marketplace, while childcare becomes another outsourced service. The market dissolves traditional bonds more effectively than any revolutionary movement, replacing community ties with consumer relationships. Ironically, celebrating minorities has become the majority position, while actual minority interests remain marginalized. Even right-wing critics position themselves as protectors of endangered minorities against liberal hegemony. Meanwhile, patriarchal ideology has largely yielded to market individualism, yet critics attack it as if still dominant, precisely when family relations have been reduced to dissolvable contracts between independent individuals. Marxism correctly predicted capitalism's crisis, but underestimated capitalism's ability to transform crisis into prolonged decay without a revolutionary subject to transform it. This long emergency manifests as gradual erosion rather than dramatic collapse. Evidence of decay appears everywhere. Declining profit rates despite advanced technology, rising corruption, and pervasive financialization. Modern financial politics reveals a paradox. Massive monetary inputs from central banks fail to generate actual production, instead feeding fictitious capital that inflates asset bubbles while real wages stagnate. Bizarre symptoms include negative interest rates and corporations hoarding cash while borrowing to buy back stock. More troubling is how financialization creates new forms of domination. Student debt exemplifies this. Young people borrow for education, expecting to repay through future self-commodification, creating a modern form of indentured servitude, with the average graduate carrying over $30,000 in loans. Social control now masquerades as freedom. Healthcare choices that leave millions uninsured, precarious employment rebranded as flexibility, and crushing education costs justified as self-entrepreneurship. The gig economy epitomizes this transformation, with workers labeled independent contractors while algorithms dictate their every move. The virtualization of money fulfills Marx's prediction that all that is solid melts into air as currency becomes purely digital entries. This abstraction paradoxically creates new forms of direct exploitation, from debt bondage in South Asian brick kilns to American prison labor. Modern capitalism necessitates rethinking the labor theory of value. Value exists through exchange relations, not intrinsically. A smartphone's value derives primarily from network effects, software ecosystem, and brand premium, rather than physical components or assembly. We should resist commodifying housework or nature's free gifts. Such expansion of value production only reinforces capitalist relations instead of transcending them. Tech giants extract value in novel ways. Facebook captures our freely created social connections, while Google monopolizes search and the data it generates. Profit increasingly takes the form of rent extracted through privatized general intellect. Our unpaid labor on social media and search engines generates enormous profits, a form of exploitation Marx couldn't have imagined but would recognize. The Communist Manifesto exposes how capitalist freedom actually represents unfreedom for those with only their labor to sell. Today's precarious self-entrepreneurs experience this contradiction directly. Precarious work eliminates traditional welfare rights, forcing workers to manage their own insurance and retirement without paid leave or job security. The ideological trick frames this as liberation. I am my own boss, freely managing employment and exploring creativity. The Uber driver or freelancer is supposedly freed from traditional constraints, but this freedom means absorbing all risks employers once carried. No benefits or security, just the freedom to hustle constantly or face poverty. This transformation extends beyond economics into subjectivity itself. The neoliberal subject must continuously work on self-improvement, personal branding, and skill development. Even leisure becomes productive. Exercise builds human capital. Reading becomes professional development, and relationships become networking. There's no escape, as even resistance gets commodified as lifestyle choices. The psychological toll appears in rising rates of depression, anxiety, and burnout. Yet these too are reframed as personal challenges requiring individual resilience rather than structural issues needing collective solutions. Marx's predicted final crisis with clear capitalist-proletarian antagonism never materialized. Communist revolutions emerged not from simplified class struggles, but from minority vanguard movements seizing power during social crises. Western Marxism grappled with the missing subject, the working class's failure to develop revolutionary consciousness. This prompted searches for substitute revolutionary agents, third world peasants, students, intellectuals, the marginalized, and refugees. Bertolt Brecht's poem about the 1953 East German uprising revealed a fundamental truth. The people transform from passive masses into an active political force through revolutionary action. When this enthusiasm inevitably waned, communist regimes typically resorted to direct party control and orchestrated mobilizations. Capitalist democracies have developed mechanisms to channel revolutionary energy into institutional forms through electoral processes, preserving the existing system while providing outlets for popular discontent. Without the working class as its emancipatory base, capitalism generates excesses that create resistance through urban slums, climate refugees, and precarious workers. Communism now identifies problems across multiple commons, natural, ecological crises, biogenetic, DNA privatization, cultural, intellectual property, and humanity's universal space. Converting these vital resources into private property represents a new primitive accumulation. Capitalism threatens its foundations through ecological devastation, restrictive intellectual property regimes, destabilizing financialization, and extreme inequality. The emergence of collaborative commons and zero marginal cost production challenges capitalism's viability. When digital goods can be reproduced infinitely at virtually no cost, the scarcity principle underlying market pricing collapses. These developments suggest capitalism may be generating not only its gravediggers, but also the organizational forms and infrastructure for its successor. The commons movement points toward democratic economic coordination beyond both state socialism and market capitalism. The specter haunting us isn't communism, but capitalism approaching its historical limits. The question becomes not whether capitalism will end, but what follows: a more humane system preserving freedom, or something worse? The answer depends on our collective response to these unfolding contradictions.